everyone. Welcome to the Crew 3 podcast. Rose Ruckman, with me as always are my two co-hosts, Chris and Ricky. Jones, say hello.
Hey.
Hey.
All right. We got a pretty big episode for this week. I'm going to quickly run through the two challenge top eights. We're not going to go into deck lists because we are going to have a new format soon. Thanks to Wilds of Eldraine coming out, which we're really excited about. And then we are going to go into talking a little bit more about some of the bit of spoilers that have happened. There are some good cards to talk about, but I think we really went through a lot of the set last week already. So if you're Patreon members, be sure to be on the lookout most likely next week for our top five discussion, as the rest of the set should be spoiled tomorrow, or the rest of the set will be spoiled by the time you hear this episode, essentially. And then, so that means next week will be our Brew Week episode. So we will be talking, we'll be presenting some Wilds of Eldraine brews. That means we also want to open up the episode to you all listeners at home and send us your Wilds of Eldraine brew for another session of Does It Slap? And because we skipped it last week, Chris is going to run down, I believe, what are we calling this segment now, Chris, for this week?
You know, we usually say, does it slap? Everybody asks, does it slap? Nobody asks, should it slap?
Will it slap?
Okay, so since we're talking about, you know, should the format have or not have the Karn there, I just wrote up a quick thing to go over everybody's deck list. We don't spend too much time on it since, like you pointed out, we're going to do a back-to-back weeks of submissions. These are, I read over everybody's deck lists and wrote some thoughts down, and I will take it over so that nobody else has to, and then we'll roll into next week.
Awesome. All right. Well, before that, does anyone have anything to go over before Ricky and I take a few minutes here to talk about our experience at Grand Archive Regionals and Store Champs this last weekend?
No, but if anybody wants to explain to me, I've heard good things about, of course, Grand Archive. I have multiple boxes. I've purchased multiple boxes of Grand Archive. If somebody wants to explain to me how Lorcana works, send me a video. You know?
You see, Simba attacks Lilo.
Right.
But only if Lilo's on a quest or has been rested.
Yeah. People have told me it's good. I've seen
on Twitter it is apparently RTR and Theros standard, and Blue Eye Control is just the best deck.
There you go.
I'm not into not attacking.
Yeah. I'm not into not being able to buy a game for 3 months.
Yeah.
It's wild. I will say I watched firsthand people come into a game store, multiple game stores that we were at this past weekend, right?
Uh-huh.
And saw people come up and be like, oh, do you have any boxes of Lorcana? And it'd be like, no, we sold out because we sold it at MSRP. Or the other store we were at that was like, we got a couple left, 300 a box. And they were like, yeah, shell it out, right?
Yeah. I also appreciate that the boxes aren't shrink-wrapped.
Mm-hmm. They have like a sticker on them?
Yeah.
I think...
For $300, I could have bought a Commander Masters booster box, though.
Right. You probably could have bought a little bit more than that, because they're dropping in price. I can't wait for Black Friday.
Well, no, they can't drop in price, because that's a premium product. And if I don't pay $300 for it, then what am I supposed to do with the next box, right? Then I won't buy that one.
All right. Are you ready? More Ricky Domus. Ready?
Yeah.
On Black Friday, $150 draft boxes of Commander Masters and, $70 collector booster boxes of Aftermath.
Ooh, all right.
This is the prediction.
Mm-hmm. Get you those heard it here. This is...
My prediction, Black Friday, landfills everywhere filled with Commander Masters product.
You know who the product wasn't for? The LGSs.
Yeah. Everyone.
All right, Ricky, let's talk about some Grand Archive Regionals.
We went to Grand Archive Regionals, but it would be dumb to go without playing any competitive Grand Archive. So we went to a PTQ the day before.
It's very true, yeah.
Not because they had to cancel the two-day regionals in order to make room for 500 Yu-Gi-Oh! Players.
Because... Mr. Big Business Konami said, no doings.
Definitely not that being the reason, but that was the reason. So we went to a Saturday PTQ and opted to not go to the Wednesday night at 7 p.m. PTQ that was in the same week.
Yeah.
My favorite time to get down and dirty with some like real competitive card games, right? For like big money prizes is Wednesday night, you know?
7 p.m. Wednesday night. Yeah. There's no good show on.
They had to give you enough time to make sure you can get to the store with traffic.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
You make sure you can get there. Mercury has made its rotation at that point. So like it's just right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just right for some card game playing.
It reminds me chakras were aligned.
That's right.
The Dallas season, or no, was it the San Diego season of RCQs when you could do any format you wanted?
Oh yeah.
Where somebody hosted a Friday night start at 8 p.m.
Oh, the
two slot sealed RCQ that ended at like 3 a.m.
Because it was like, surely no one's going to go to this, so I'm going to go spike the easy tournament. And then everyone went to that event.
I was so happy I was already qualified. I heard the horror stories of like the build time starting at like 8:30. Round one started at like 10.
Yeah. So anyway, actual Grand Archive though. We actually got to talk with the developers and hopefully we're going to get an interview with them pretty soon. I know that Fractured Crown comes out this weekend. Actually, my box is just shipped, so I'm hoping I'll be able to do a Fractured Crown box opening over the weekend. Game is still fun. Game still has a lot of promise. I think the card pool just needs to catch up with it. Is that your assessment?
I think mechanically, the game is still fun, still good ideas. I think that so we'll go with pros first, right?
Yeah.
I think the artwork is good without being cringe, and anime art gets cringe really easily.
Yeah.
I think that the design space is really interesting, and the mechanics are very unique for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the game could have a lot of interesting decision points and a lot of opportunity for players to take agency of the game.
Yes.
And I do personally think that Supporter Pack is the smartest idea that any card game company has ever had.
Ever. Yeah.
And Wizards of the Coast will never do it because it does not make infinity dollars. It just makes a lot of money.
For those that haven't watched my unboxing of the Supporter Packs, what they are is the game sells kind of mini booster boxes. You get eight three-card packs in a little box that is MSRP $30. And
they're all reprints, but with alternate art.
They're all reprints, alternate art. You get one foil per box, and you can still open one of the big rare special collector rares, which is like the full art foil and all that kind of stuff. And then I think it's like half of the price goes into organized play.
Half the price goes into organized play, and they're only available at big events and big conventions.
Conventions, yeah. So it's like they will show up with that product that they are at, essentially.
And every regional. So every regional, every Ascent, like everybody can buy one or two, and they're $30 each, right? Plus tax, $15 goes into prize payout and organized play.
They've already showed the willingness to use the money because they've already doubled the prize pool for the Ascent in Houston in September and also extended all of the invites down for nationals from first and second place to top 32.
So huge. Very sick. That's a very cool idea.
That's like, kind of like Dota does it. And like I said, I think if you give – that's you're directly giving people the chance to vote with their dollars on organized play. Right.
Also, like in terms of mats, right? Like, I know Magic players have a lot of mats already, but like,
I actually like the mat I got.
Yeah. So, like, when you sign up for regionals, you got this actually really nice cloth playmat holder, and then it came with the regional participant mat, and then they had a different version of the mat if you managed to top eight. So here's the again, like we were talking about. So like, obviously, in a lot of other anime games, let's just say this, the lady in the artwork would probably, I would not feel comfortable holding up the playmat to the camera.
Sure.
In some other card games, right. But I think, like Ricky's saying, the art is great. I think the game is mechanically great. And I just hope it can kind of grow past, kind of my only real negative with the game itself is just, it's one set right now. And while I am hopeful that Fractured Crown will add some new and exciting stuff to the game, that I think really set three is going to really be the kind of like a really great point in the game where, all right, we have like two full 200 something plus card sets and this smaller supplemental set in between. Now let's really see what the game can cook with, right?
I'm going to say cons of the game. From a gameplay perspective, every deck has 10 to 20 cards in it because you have to play a 60 card deck that you just don't ever want to draw or see in your hand. Like, just straight up, like, that's just from, it's from a small card pool, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to hit 60 cards, and because of that, you're playing cards that you never want to cast, that you just sort of hope you draw and are able to discard or loot away or just not draw. And it means that the, like, disparity of power level between the strong cards is, like, absurd, to the point where it feels like games are unwinnable if opponents open with certain strong cards in their opener.
Yeah. Mainly, like, the cards that just let you consistently have card advantage, right? Like, the 1-2 with looting on attack is, like, insane. Right. Have to kill on spot.
The 3-mana draw to discard one.
Yeah.
That card's just so absurd. And then, of course, like, the big dog, Fiery Momentum, and, for 3-mana.
And Rhapsody.
3-mana, being able to deal 2+1 for every red card in your discard pile. It ends games on, like, turn 3.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Games were definitely over quick. But, again, I do think that with the expanded card pool, and I do think, like, even FTC, I think is going to bring a lot of new life and new exploring. And also, I'm really interested to see what happens on Friday. When this episode comes out, there's going to be a BNR list update for Grand Archive, and we'll see if they think it's too early to ban anything or not. But I mean, they do have a watch list that I fully agree with a lot of the ideas in the watch list. And I also want to say that, like, the game devs do listen a lot. I think, especially early on, we've seen some several ruling changes based on just community feedback in general. Like, before Fire Momentum and Rhapsody were kind of the big thing, right? You saw a lot of the Lorraine decks being built around, we're going to level up Lorraine. She's going to get a big attack in. Then we're going to dungeon guide to untap her because we'll level up for free, get another attack in. Then we're going to play this card, get another attack in. So,
second wind, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, like, the rules change where leveling up doesn't untap the champion anymore is, like, was a big change that came from community feedback on the game. And so I have a lot of faith that the dev team is very responsive, and they definitely are keeping the state of the game in mind with a lot of decisions versus just, like, the game just in general.
I like the game in theory. I think it needs another two sets.
Yeah. But I'm still down with the game. We're going to make more. I'm going to still be making some side content because I do think that there is a lot to talk about. Even you're talking about, like, you know, because the game does have a mulligan system. When you draw your opener and you kind of have some of those stinker cards, you don't have really a chance to get rid of them. That's why I think the new spirits that come out with FTC are going to be immensely
better.
Yeah. So I think, like, that's already going to be a quality of life improvement. So we'll see. Like I said, I definitely enjoyed playing the game. We did get to meet and talk to several cool people, and it was great talking to Alan, one of the game devs at the event. So yeah, I think if you're interested in Grand Archive, definitely pick up starter decks and just start learning how to play the game. And then we'll see in the next few weeks how the new set and the ban list definitely impacts things going forward. And I'll have the videos out this week. I need to finish them up. But if you hear this podcast, I will have videos of me doing a box opening of Dawn of Ashes, and more importantly, me kind of going over each of the starter decks to get everyone started in Grand Archive. So
we had fun, though. It was a good time.
No, it was a great time.
It was an absolute blast. We were offered Infinity Red Bull.
Infinity Red Bulls.
That's terrifying. We're not Dota players. I don't know. Like, do Dota players, I mean, they got their hands all over the place. The CSGO players, right? They got to, like, sit all the way into the screen and stuff. They need that Red Bull, right?
Well, it's, not only is it, like, card games, but it's also, like, FGC stuff, too, right? Like, they do, like, Smash and stuff like that there. So,
Chris,
we tell you this is a Red Bull sponsored venue, so they were just like, we have a lot of Red Bull. Take
as much as you want. Like, here's a fridge of Red Bull. You can just come up and grab as much Red Bull as you want. And it's like,
nice.
It's like, yo, I'm sure the Yu-Gi-Oh players went nuts.
Right.
I want to see that If that regionals that they had on Saturday, I wish I was there to witness that top Yu-Gi-Oh! Regionals. I want to see them play at the speed of light, you know?
Right. Yeah, the top eight was over like that. You know what I'm saying?
With yeah.
The Red Bull being given away.
But I think all of us wisely stayed away from the Red Bull more than like their first one.
Ricky, don't lose us our Red Bull sponsorship, okay? Please be careful.
I took two home.
Right.
The Red Bull Flugentag, sponsored by Crew 3.
That's right. They're in my fridge right now, waiting for Ian to come and consume them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't drink energy drinks. I'm high on life, you know.
How, I don't need that. Man, maybe we should have had Ian there just to see the microcosm of how many Red Bulls one man can consume.
Have you seen that man in DreamHack?
Yo, he took all the monsters for everyone.
Yeah.
I want to hype up an exciting event coming soon to a table near you, if I can. And that is to say that tentatively, we are bringing back our webcam events.
Yeah.
Locking the down date for the first one, or did we decide?
Yeah, no, that's the first one. So
the weekend of release, right?
Yeah. So Saturday, September 9th will be our first webcam event back. We're trying to keep these as monthly as possible. I figured, hey, I'm stuck at home on call at least once a month. So why not use those as an excuse to run webcam events when I forcibly have to be at home for my job, right?
Yeah, I am trying to be off for this one. I don't know. I think I've maybe gotten to play half of one of our webcam tournaments, but I am pushing hard to be able to play both pre-release and be there for the webcam tournaments. And hopefully, you can play against your favorite Crew 3 member. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, Chris is the best
Ruckman. Ruckman's going to be judging, so you can't play against him. But
I'll be there.
I'll be there instead.
I'll be there instead,
and you can play me. And obviously, we encourage brews. If you've never played one before, jump in. The history from the last one is there. We encourage friendly.
It's also full proxy. So proxy up your decks. We just ask that you please just like get the inkjet printer out and nicely print stuff off.
Please print proxy. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not. We want things legible, so we're not just writing on the back of basic lands, right?
Yeah, I would like small tables.
This is a Rankle's Prankle, right?
If you don't have easy access to printer, I'm sure you've got a bunch of blank checklist cards. Those are also acceptable, but really just either like nice printouts or write them on checklist cards so they're a little clearer to differentiate.
I would like spell table to be able to read your cards, but that's just my preference, you know?
Yeah, so we'll be running that. The link will be live with this episode, so be sure to go sign up for that. It's a lot of fun. It's free. It's for bragging rights, and you get the special gold name of the Discord. And I should actually mint it into an NFT.
Yeah, definitely. I'm surprised we haven't already.
I should mint the PNG of the title belt into...
Yeah. There's nobody more pro NFT than these three people right here. Yeah. We've never said a bad thing.
If you check our Twitter feed, a lot of crypto bros do think we are, because there is like some Crew 3 cryptocurrency or whatever exchange. We exist first though. So, but I keep getting tagged in random posts all the time. It's really annoying.
We need to get like mount a Mike Trout card, to, like a plaque.
Yeah,
fill it in. You know, like all the.
Yeah. I think next year I am going to actually go. I found a website that does do a nice custom champion belt, and I'm going to actually have one made.
Yeah,
that will not be mailed out anywhere, but it will just live here with me because
it'll be like an NFT. We'll keep it, and you just take a picture of it. You know what I'm saying? And then you basically also have it. You know,
we'll change a piece of duct tape on it with your name.
That's right. Exactly.
The reputational trophy. Will only get more and more stupid every year.
I can't wait to win my second one this coming year.
It's a tall order. It's a tall order.
Has there been a repeat winner yet?
No, because there's only been two.
Ooh. I'm
and
coming.
All have won the first one and then retired.
Went out on top, you know?
They planned to show up to the second one.
And just flex the trophy?
But I told them it was at Dragon's Lair, and they showed up to the one in Austin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well.
So, oops.
All right. So, SFX Grand Archive, again, really fun game. Let's just get some more cards out, and we'll see what happens. So, let's go ahead and talk about Pioneer. Where'd my deck? Where'd my events go? Where'd my
Wild Drain? That's what you're
Wild Drain. Right? Yeah. Real quick, our challenge top eights on Saturday. We had this deck is actually sweet. This deck I do want to talk about. Hold on.
Send me. I'm holding.
Eighth place was Rakdos Transmogrify,
right?
By underscore Falcon underscore, playing Urbrask's Forge.
Yep. Yeah, that deck is
Urbrask's Forge.
Yeah,
that card is bigger and bigger guy.
Yeah, so it's one Gigantha of the Wellspring, two Attracts of Grand Unifier, four Fatal Push, four Thoughtseize, three Dreadbore, two Volcanic Spite, four Warping Whale, four Transmogrify, three Urbrask's Forge, four Tribute to Hirobi, and four Fable of the Mirror Breaker.
What universe are we in where we're playing Atraxa and Warping Whale?
Yeah.
Well, we got Mirax and Mutavault.
It makes this a 1/1 Eldrazi token, right?
Yeah.
We're transmogrifying.
It also counters a sorcery spell.
It sure counters does.
Storm, the festival.
It counters
Thoughtseize.
Yeah, that's the big one. I just, like, Tribute to Hirobi can't be playable in a world with Rakdos sack. That's the problem, you know? Like, opponent's going to immediately know what's going on and start going, oh, thanks for the sack fodder. I think that we've lost some sight here. There's a one mana instant with flashback that exiles a card from a graveyard and makes you a 2/2. And in a world with a lot of graveyard decks running around, that card is infinitely better. So I really, you know, I like this deck. Obviously, I was playing it last month, a certain version of it, although I was playing a couple transmogrifies and more creativities. You can kind of play it however you want. It was just to give you more ways to draw your card. Getting to Atraxa. And again, it all depends on how many decks are playing ways to kill Atraxa. When you play a bunch of aggro decks, this deck looks super sweet. When you can get out on green because you can kill early stuff and then get an Atraxa, your deck looks sweet. When they play two mana removal spells, you look real dumb when you have no way to win the game. And you just like, you drew a lot of cards, but you get run over. So
they're just getting ahead of the curve by playing Tribute to Hirobi now for when the rats take over the game.
That's right. Rat gang.
Rat gang. Tribal.
All right. There's a card that Bridger asked me if it was going to be see play in SAC, and I've been thinking about it a lot. So we'll bring that up here. We talk about hidden, and we talk about Eldraine cards. Seventh place, Xenowon with Hidden Strings. Number six, Boy Triton with Is It Phoenix. Number five, Validant with Esper Control, it's not Esper Control. It's Blue Light Control, but it's playing Thought Distortion of the Borks. It's the Lotus Field build. Get out of here, Goldfish. Fourth place, Broker's.
A week and a half ago, I did get to cast Narset's Reversal on a Thought Distortion, and I was like, if you have a counter from my Narset's Reversal, I'm just sad. Otherwise, this is the sickest play of all time. And opponent, unfortunately, was like, wow, how many of that card do you play? And I was like, you're right to ask that question. Not very many. I do have it. And they were like, well, I just lose the game then. And I was like, I'm sorry, but this was really cool, you know?
But also, I would have just lost the game, so, you know.
Yeah, right. I was either going to lose, but I had the Narset's Reversal, so I do get to exile your hand. They were on Lotus, so that's why they played it. So,
how many copies of those do you play? It is legal for you to ask me that.
Are you a cop? Because I don't got an answer.
are you a cop? Yeah.
Can I see your sideboard, please?
Right. Yeah. If that one judge was there, I'd have to give it to him, you know?
All right. Fourth place, Poker's Wizard with Mono White Humans. Third place, Rearranged AS on Azorius Spirits. Second place, MWRGLC with... Is it creativity?
There's no creativity.
Oh,
is it transmogrify? And they're playing.
Is it transmog?
The switch.
Yep, flip the switch is old news. I was on.
They just flipped a switch.
See, these players, they merely adopted the creativity. Okay,
yeah,
I was born in it.
There's no creativity here.
Molded by it. Transmogrify is the same thing. They're playing flip the switch. I played flip the switch a long time ago
flip the switch.
I played it against you, and you were like, you read the card. Do you not remember this? I played it against you on Arena, and you were like, what does flip the switch do? I was like, it counters your spell and makes me a zombie.
All right, Chris. Well, if you're so good with all these decks, where's your millies then, huh? How many millies have you won?
I've never won one. I've never won the pennant.
See, if you get a millie, then your next one, you can get another millie. Mm-hmm. Then you'll have two millies.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
NFTs work.
All right. First place, Bill Sieve with Gruelboat.
Man, all right. You can't keep a girl boat down, you know?
No, it's here.
This deck is always sweet. I don't care what anybody says. I used to be a hater, but now...
This is Magic as Garfield intended.
I'm living free. Ever since the Thrill Seekers came here, I've been like, this is the sickest deck I've ever seen.
All right. On Sunday, Pioneer Challenge, in 8th place, you have Harry 13 on Is It Phoenix? Bahutinha on Rakdos. Mono Green Devotion, 7th place. 6th place, we have Ail Milan 19 on our Transmogrify build, that Urbrask Forge in Tribute to Hirobi. 5th place, Ginkgo HS on Hidden Strings. 4th place, Rion on Rakdos Sacrifice. 3rd place, Victor Carvalho on Mono Green Devotion. Phoenix 135 on Azorius Spirit, 2nd place. And 1st place, Oskia on Rakdos Midrange.
Sick. You didn't post this one, so I can't look around.
No, not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go, big baby.
Rakdos Midrange, it's been a while, huh?
It's been a while.
I thought that deck was out in the alley, you know?
But now it can hold its head up high.
I thought for sure Shieldred's had dumpstered back down to like $20, right? But no. They're playing Kalidus again. They've been to the dumpster.
Yeah.
They got thrown in the trash and they were like, oh, wow, my Kalidus's.
And there's a Misery Shadow in here too?
Oh, man. I'm in. I love playing as this deck.
All right. Yeah.
Main deck Duress. Main deck Unlicensed Hearse.
You go, Glen Coco.
Mm-hmm. This player is on another level.
They're going to find all the cards.
Yeah. Go blanks. This is sick. 2 Pithing Needle.
In case the first one misses, you know?
And the first one Besageus.
It's a real fear.
The first one you have to name Besageu, right?
Yeah.
And the second one you name the card you actually want to name.
Being the Azoria Spirits player and you're like, I know how to play around Shieldred, and then they go Kalidus and you're just like,
like, oh, you know, man.
Can't play around that.
Have a panic attack, right?
Parry this, you casual.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. All right. Let's talk about train cards.
Dude, Rakdos Sacrifice just goes away. Why? Kalidus has got to be like the truth, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's pushed this deck like out of the meta, right? Is like Rakdos Sacrifice and Mono Green, like tag teaming, coming from the back, you know, behind the stage with the chair, you know? Right. But like, Kalidus instead of Shieldred, and like Raksack sits there and is like, well, I can't sack anything.
Yeah.
Or I lose the game.
Until you threaten the Kalidus and laugh all the way to the bank.
Sure, but it costs 4, so you can't claim it. You got to have another.
That's fine. That's fine. Look,
Ricky's
over here saying, don't worry. Don't forget, I paid that mob to break your leg.
Right.
Ruckman, the Ricky-tational winner, just has no fear over here. He's just not afeared of anything. Just has the trophy.
They aren't playing any threatens in their main board anymore.
I mean, you just play them in the sideboard.
There's only 2.
That's fine. You're fine.
Yeah, you're going to draw. Okay, we'll find them.
You see so many cards in your deck, Ricky.
Yeah, we'll find them. The unlucky witnesses.
Who has a trophy?
Yeah. Who's can't going to that. Atlanta?
Where's your trophy, Ricky?
Oh, it's in Atlanta.
I gotta go pick it up. Work.
You gotta travel there. That's in the future.
Yeah.
Hey, what's in the now? Wilds of Eldraine.
All right. Okay.
I thought I was gonna hate this set? Can we say I publicly said to the folks, the
Chris good fine so
listeners of this podcast?
No, Chris was very down on this set.
I thought I was gonna hate it. I was like, I can't think of a set that I would less like to go back to than Eldraine. The first one, I didn't like it. I thought it was going to be better than it was, and it ended up being a broken set of sadness and destruction. And this set, they've powered down a ton, and I think that's for the better. And I think the cards end up being super cool.
Can I point everybody's view real quick before we get into lists of things?
Sure.
Can I point us all to Candy Trail?
Yeah, you can point me to Candy Mountain.
Yeah, can you look at that artifact hyphen food clue?
Oh, look at you.
Ricky Namas.
Who knew the whole time? If you play back the record, right, you'll
play
even
back.
See I said it's going to be like leaving a trail of candy or something, and it's going to be a food clue.
Brilliant.
I'm just saying,
okay. You're hiring wizards.
I knew it. I saw. I see all. Yeah, I see all. I know all. And
if
I share.
You're not allowed to play Crew 3 podcast within 500 feet of a Wizards of the Coast office. But if you were able to, you would hear the brilliance of Ricky, and this man would have a job there. You know,
man. Can we just shout out to the Gingerbread reprint real quick?
Shout out to the Gingerbread reprint. The flavor text of the Gingerbread reprint is so funny. Have you read it?
I haven't read it. Oh, man.
Take a moment.
Sometimes as fast as you can isn't quite fast enough. Oh, no. Also, what's up with these bee faces in Food Coma? Are they little sheeps?
They're bees, right?
But they're sheeps.
Hey, that's going to be the new Judge promo, right? It's all the things with sheeps in them, you know? Did you like that one?
Is Judge Academy still on fire?
I'm happy with that one.
I'm not checking.
Yeah, same. Same. I can't be bothered. I wish them all luck or sorry for their loss.
Oh,
yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Hey, there's a new creepiest card.
Well, what's the creepiest card?
Old Flitterfang.
I can't
believe you can put that on a magic card. This rat is eating clearly somebody's entrails that were already baked. So first of all, it's already baked into a pie, right? Uh-huh. Where did this pie come from? That's what I want to know.
It's like, an uncommon legendary.
We start with a human pie person pie. We start there. That's where we start.
Yeah.
Then we get the rat with little demon bat wings fluttering around.
He's a rat fairy.
It's flitter fanging, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Biting into, you know, is that a gallbladder? An appendix? I don't know. I can't read or write. I don't know anatomy.
Ask Dr. Wife.
Dr. Wife is out delivering babies. You know? So this is the last thing
I'm time or they're free.
It's the last thing I'm gonna present to Dr. Wife. So I don't know. This card haunts my dreams. That's all I mean.
You missed last week when we showed the card that's literally a prolapsed butthole.
You can't say it's
a medical term, Chris. It's Chris, a medical Chris, term.
It's a family friendly family.
It's a medical term, family, Chris.
Family's friends. I don't think I'm not sure. Wow.
Can we talk about Scream Puff being like just this oozing?
No, we have to end the episode now. We can't talk about it. We have to be done. Thank you for listening. This is the last episode.
I still can't find the card you're looking for.
Which one? Old Flitterfang?
Oh, there he is. He's just eating a pie.
It's a jumpstart card.
Oh, it's just a rat eating a pie. I don't know what's wrong.
What about Candy Grapple?
What about the Ratatouille Chef, experimental confectioner?
That one's cute. I like Ratatouille Chef.
All right. Let's talk about the good cards, though, shall we?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Or not good cards. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Me and Ruckman have to go first together.
Oh, we go first together. Because we're going to give you all the royal treatment.
Royal treatment. Let me tell you. One green, instant speed. Target creature gains hexproof. Give it the royal roll. Ruckman, what's the royal roll?
Luckily, this card tells me what the royal roll is. It gives +1/+1 and ward 1.
We couldn't put like king roll. Like it had to be royal roll, which is a weird double word to say.
I'm trying to help my stutter, you know?
I think of all the one mana hexproof spells, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, Tamiya's Blessing is still pretty good. Hexproof Indestructible, and also you gain some life.
Snakeskin Veil
gives you the +1/+1 counter, but this one gives you the 1/1. It gives you an extra permanent to sacrifice if you're into that kind of thing. It gives
you a
constellation trigger.
Yeah.
And ward 1.
So you have further protection down the road.
That's like 3 things I'm getting, you know?
That's a lot of things.
I think for 1 mana, this card is kind of... I think all of the 1 mana instants that like do thing plus give you a roll are insane.
Oh, like this one, and then there is Not Dead After All, which you talked last week about, right? The
one that gives you +2 and then also gives you the +1/+1 and trample roll.
I'm talking about the one that brings your guy back if it dies and then gives the wicked roll.
Not really dead.
Not dead after all. Yeah.
That card that will make Rakdos Scam even better in modern.
Oh boy.
They need it, of course, you know? Very sick, very fun. Giving it rolls and stuff. Make sure you have your Beetle and Grim roll tokens on you for $500 to make sure that you got those on hand, or else you'll be disqualified from your nearest Rule Zero conversation.
Beetle and Grim reminded me, even though I have a decent job, I don't have enough money for the things I want.
There you go.
That's the rock and roll life right there. That's our number five card. Chris, what do you got for your number five card?
I've got Up the Beanstalk, and this card's mostly going to be strong in Modern, where all of our cards are free, right? We don't have to pay for anything in the name of interaction. But in Pioneer, we do have several cards that get discounted. The main permanent is going to be a Leyline Binding.
Right. Chris, who hates Leyline Binding, has first selected a card that is good with Leyline Binding.
Because I saw it and I had flashbacks. You know what I'm saying?
What is the text of Up the Beanstalk for our viewers?
Up the Beanstalk, for those who have not been paying attention, is it's a colorless and a green for an enchantment. And when Up the Beanstalk enters the battlefield, and whenever you cast a spell with mana value 5 or greater, draw a card, right? Doesn't have to be a permanent. So let's say we discount some spells with, Delve, right? We draw some cards. Delve spells notably legal in Pioneer, right? Do you want to be playing this in conjunction with some of the Delve spells? It's probably going to be like a newer deck that you want to do that with. Obviously, I think the best thing you can be doing is probably casting Leyline Binding in your enchantments deck, right? We're already playing enchantments usually in our Leyline Binding deck, right? The synergy there. But should there be other Delve spells you want to take on? You could. So I think it's just a card that you want to keep an eye out for because it replaces itself when it comes into play, right? So this is Green Devotion just for comes into play, right? You get one Green Devotion and it replaces itself. And then, again, if you wanted to or you just want to be big green, right? Cavalier costs 5, Storm the Festival costs 5, right? Those are all spells, last I knew. So, I don't know exactly if this slots in quite as good enough, but that's a lot of card draw. Right, if Kiora got an axe, right, like Kiora can untap permanents and also draw you cards. So, is this better than Kiora? I'm not really sure. But again, if you had an enchantment, some theme or something, the effect of this is very powerful.
Right. I think that this card's very good. I like this card. It almost made my list, Chris.
Yeah.
I like that it replaces itself a lot. And Leyline Binding is sick with the interaction with it. My only problem is Omnath doesn't trigger it, and we can't play this in Karuga.
Right. Yeah, the Kruger version doesn't
like
play this
card a lot. And so I agree, some sort of Leyline Binding deck might be able to play this, but then I can't think of any other 5-mana cards you want to play.
Enigmatic's what, 4?
Enigmatic is 4, and Fires is also 4.
And Enigmatic wouldn't even what you find off Enigmatic wouldn't trigger this either because you have to cast.
And because it's a caster, it is an ETB for the first trigger to draw.
Yeah.
But the actual other triggers to draw are cast triggers. So Elish Norn doesn't actually help the cast triggers, which is unfortunate. But I mean, I like this card.
I'm trying to tell you, Chris, this card is bad.
No, yeah. I like this card. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going somewhere.
It does work with Fires, right? If we were a Fires-based deck, that lets us cast two spells for free, and then now we're getting card advantage. So, again, the repeatable card advantage this draws you does have me raising eyebrows. It does have me going, okay, we're close. Obviously, the non-bow with Karuga is there, but before we were playing Yorion anyway, right? This card does like a Yorion blink, right? It's an enters the battlefield, not a cast, right? So,
You'll get the trigger for casting your Yorion, and then you'll get another trigger when it ETBs again.
So, not as big of a friends with Karuga, but is BFS with Yorion. So, and Yorion, right, is your 5, like you just pointed out. So I do think there's some potential here. There's some discounted cards. There's a lot of 5-mana cards that you do want to be casting between, Kenrith and whatever the stupid, like you said, Elshinor, whatever other stupid cards you might want to be playing.
Bring to Light into Tipple does trigger this twice.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Bring to Light into any 5-mana spell.
Bring to Light. Yeah, Bring to Light does it. Right. See, Ricky, you're making my case for me. All right, there's my 5. Up the Beanstalk. Drowsy cards.
All right. My number 4. And really, this could have been a lot higher on the list, I think. But I just, I'm so done with Mono Green. I just had to put this, as close to low of the list as possible. And I'm going to talk about Throne of Eldraine. So 5-mana legendary artifact. As Throne of Eldraine enters the battlefield, choose a color. Add 4 mana of the chosen color. Spend this mana. So tap it. Add 4 mana of the chosen color to cast only mono-colored spells that share the color. And then for two or three in tap, you draw two cards, spend only mana of the chosen color to activate this ability. And I think, like, come on, you're not going to give us Karn. You're not going to get rid of Karn. Now you're going to give us this. Like, what else is mono green? What are they thinking when printing this card?
Real quick though. This card that you're reading here, this throne card here. What's the set symbol? I'm not seeing this. What's the set symbol on this look like here?
I mean, it kind of looks like a book, I guess. But it's got the diamond in the middle.
Is it a book though, or is it not a book?
Is it a book open or book closed?
It's a book open but facing away from me. Like, I see the back of the book.
You see the back of the book.
Okay.
Does it look kind of like a shield?
Or someone's reading it to you.
Someone's reading it to me.
Does it look kind of like a shield, Ruckman? Maybe like a
little. It looks like a shield.
Huh. I'm pretty sure that those are commander cards, Ruckman. Those are commander cards you're looking at.
Almost dangerous there.
Yeah.
I was worried there for a minute.
Yeah. I could tell you were panicking, you know?
It was all just a dream. And you were there.
And the fairies were there. They were stealing my dreams, you know?
I'd say when I saw this card, I was like, oh no. Thank God it's a commander card. My actual number four though, I want to talk about Experimental Confectioner. Two and a black
on this boy.
For a 2/3. Experimental Confectioner enters the battlefield, create a food token. And then it also has the ability, whenever you sacrifice a food, create a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block. So this card, I think, is very strong. However, when you're thinking of, like, it's great in Rack-Sack, and it is, don't get me wrong, it's pretty strong in Rack-Sack. But I do think that right now, the 3-drop slot is, like, about as full as we want it to be. Now, I could definitely see this potentially being a sideboard card for some of the grindier matches where you're just like, if we can just get like a few extra points of damage on the board to kind of crack through that, right? That's great. I do like that the rat tokens can't block, because imagine how aggravating this would be if the rats could also block with the cat, right?
No.
And again, I wouldn't be surprised if this card is like a 1 or 2 of in Rack-Sack lists, but I think like, with where the builds are at now, where the card numbers line out now, it's hard for this to get a spot at the moment.
It's funny to me because you know in Historic they errated the cat to not be able to block.
Yeah,
and that was obviously the learning mistake for this one. Was like, we made that mistake last time. We're not going to make basically, you know, recurring tokens that can block and interrupt your thing for you to sack them off or do whatever with. So basically, alchemy was good for something. That's what I'm learned in this experience.
Shill. We'll get in good graces again.
Alchemy was good for something. It taught us lessons in design and what not to do next time. And so here we go. We've got a card here that's balanced.
I like this card quite a bit. Your card here. It goes infinite in Modern. With a Lord of the Rings card.
Yeah.
What does it?
What does it?
Right, exactly.
My number four here, I put Rowdy Research, which you do have to look pretty hard for because it is a jumpstart only uncommon. How do I get this card? How do you
can
get
you
this card?
Explain to me how I get this
you
card.
Buy
then?
It from cardkingdom.com for too much money.
Hashtag sponsored, huh?
That's how you get it.
Okay.
Hashtag not sponsored, but we could
do. Buy packs of Jumpstart. You wait for idiots to buy it for you. I don't know.
I almost bought some Jumpstart because those boxes were half off at that one store we were at.
Yeah. Wait for Black Friday.
Oh, also, Chris, if you want a bunch of blind box D&D minis, a store we stopped at this last weekend had like essentially cases of them wrapped for half off.
What? Anyway. Yes, of course. Yeah,
if you want, I can go see if they still have them and get you a price, and you can
do whatever. Yeah. You let me know. That's my my familial Christmas present to each other all the time. We love the D&D blind boxes.
7 mana, instant, blue and 6 colorless to be precise.
Yeah,
ooh, that's big.
Draw 3 cards,
Ricky. I still can't find this card.
I found it. This spell costs 1 less to cast for each creature that attacked this turn. Now, it does not care whose turn it is because it's an instant, right, or who owned the attacking creature. That being said, probably want to build a deck that goes wide around this. I think this is actually the revival of the stupid...
Twin-headed giant.
No.
Oh, what was the
this blue is the revival of the stupid eight Pyromancer deck.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is their, like, extra, like, oomph, right? You attack this all your stupid...
My number three for this exact reason, Ricky, is this and the blue-red Convoke deck. Rowdy Research.
You didn't write just Rowdy Research. You kept writing more words, and so I assumed it. Yeah.
I put Rowdy Research for Convoke purposes.
Right. I thought you wrote Rowdy Rodney Piper, and I would agree that would be a great
maniac.
That, right, yeah, that exactly. Secret Lair isn't out yet, Ricky. The Wizards of the Coast XWWF, XWWE, XTNA, X whatever wrestling crossover is coming out next year to a big box store only near you.
I hear in the bottom of the box you get a chair, not a car, just a chair.
They sprinkled some thumbtacks in there so that you too can be Mick Foley, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. All right, but I think this card's good. Sorry, I actually did. I wouldn't have made a big deal of this if you were also going to talk about this.
No. It's fine.
I think this card's sweet for blue-red spells decks that want to go wide and not get ultra punished for going too wide.
I hate the art.
It's just a bunch of fairies. Who cares?
I don't like the one fairy just staring at me.
He's like, what you doing? You casting this? But, who knows? Maybe you get attacked by six creatures and you're not just dead. You can pay one blue, draw three cards, and find your Settle the Wreckage and win the game or something, you know?
Yep.
All right. What you got, Chris?
My number four is the Cheeky House Mouse. This one is a 1-mana, 2/1 mouse. And, you know, that used to be a rare in Magic the Gathering, right? That used to be a rare. Sometimes it dealt you damage if you dealt damage to that rare. We just get a 1-mana 2/1 for an uncommon. However, wait, there's more. As an adventure for one white, you can cast a sorcery called Squeak By. Target creature you control gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. It can't be blocked by creatures with power 3 or greater this turn. This is a card that I do think has a place in particularly some of the Pia decks, just because this can squeak by some extra damage. Do you like what I did there?
I like what you did there.
It squeaks by some extra damage. I don't honestly know if this is a main deck card, but like sometimes some of the prowess creatures feel a little underwhelming, right? Like you really want to be going in your Pia, or you really want to be squeaking the last little bit of damage by there. And when I was talking to a player I played at the RCQ who was on Obosh Red, their experience was like, you know, like this deck has more finishing power with Burn to the Face. And my problem with the Pia deck was like, I had a little more mid-range power, but against green, they said that the finishing power wasn't there. It was like, I can race a lot better with this version of the deck, just being able to get the last points of damage through. I come out faster and then I can finish off. And I think that this sorcery Squeak By that you can also cast to get
gives you prowess.
Doctors off of Pia is like a way to get by some of the creatures, like a shielder or something like that, to finish people off.
I mean, it's really good in conjunction with your like Monster's Whisper. Like this makes your Swiss Spear 3 damage, right? And then you can like turn 1 Swiss Spear, turn 2, like play this both modes, right? And then you get to squeak by whatever dumb blocker they've put in the way, right?
Yep.
And get damage through. And then next up, you're like doing something else. I don't know. Like you can figure it out. The adventure cards just work really well with Pia.
That's the big deal, is like the adventure side, once you've cast it, you only have to pay 1 mana to get the other side of this. If you have any like ways coming up to give your creatures haste, additionally, just the cheap cost to adventure, right? I think that's one of the reasons some people are switching off Bone Crusher Giant, but Bone Crusher Giant has been pretty decent. But the 3 mana is a costly investment. You do get a really, really good creature, while you definitely here get a slightly worse creature, or, you know, a lot worse creature. But this is a lot easier to cast, and you can cast multiple things, right? You don't usually have infinity mana with the Pia deck. You're usually like 4 or 5 is kind of your max, and then you're hoping you can kind of combo off enough to get your opponent. But this is a really cheap way to do it, right? I mean, it gets through damage early really nicely, and then it's just a way to basically activate your Pia and go a little bit wider. So I do like this card quite a bit for that. There's probably other places you can play it. One thing that I noticed a lot in this set, since this is, I think, the only adventure that I pointed out. There's a ton of adventures in this set, which does do a lot with the Possibility Storm deck. Now you have a lot of ways to cast sorceries, a lot easier than you could before. So I do feel like you sometimes had a fail state with that deck where, like, now you almost can't. Obviously, if you wanted to play white to get your 3-mana 3/2 that summons your enchantment to the top of your deck, like, here's now white more white sorcery adventures in addition to some of the learn cards you could have played before to make sure you can, you know, take the pennant home and see dad again at the end of that. So
yeah,
that was my number four.
All right, my number three is Spell Stutter. I haven't looked up how many good fairies there are in Pioneer yet, but I sure am going to start counting.
Yep.
It's got to be better than the number of rogues.
Half of them are probably also fairies.
I'm just throwing it out there.
There's a lot of fairy rogues, yeah.
I was actually getting really excited for a Spell Stutter sprite reprint. I thought it was going to happen. And when I saw the Dream Spoiler... that wasn't Dream Spoiler Witches. And I was like, this is a reprint, but I don't think it is because it says Warlock. And I'm like, but I'm sure this is the exact cost as a card from Morrowind. And sure enough, it is. It's just a Warlock instead of a wizard, and it's uncommon instead of common.
Yep.
But so, I'll take this Spell Stutter. Yeah.
So for those that don't know, one in blue for instant, counter spell as his opponent pays 2 plus additional 1 for each fairy you control. So.
Sick counterspell.
Should be pretty good. I do think there are some decent enough fairies. I mean, like, you already have the ones that just kind of draw you spells. There's the new one that's the World's card, right, that just came out in the last set. Mm-hmm. There's also in this set, there's that 3/3 with the stun counters, I think, is actually pretty playable for one. So I think fairies is pretty close. I'm not quite sure if it gets there yet in, like, game-ending power, but I think in, like, things it can do and just interactiveness, I think it's pretty close. Ricky, what do you got?
For my next card?
Yeah.
For my next trick, I'm going to show you a really... All the rest of my cards are adventures. I'm going to show you a really cool card that I'm still trying to decipher what I'm doing with.
Sure.
Pick Lock Prankster is a fairy.
Okay.
It is... I honestly don't know or care what the creature side of this is, because it is a creature in the yard, and for 2 mana at instant speed, we can mill 4 cards, and then we can put an instant sorcery or fairy card from among the milled cards into our hand. And then the backside is a 2-mana 1/3 flying vigilance. Who cares? I want to mill cards, and I want to specifically mill creature cards, and I'm going to win the game with either, like, the Undergrowth Troll,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to win the game with, like, bestowing Night Howler onto a Narcomoeba. Like,
sure.
I'm just letting you know
that
now with this card, we have 4 creatures. We have 3 adventure creatures that for 1 to 2 mana will mill us 4 cards. And mm-hmm. we have, like, Stitcher Supplier, all in blue-black. If we want to dip into green, we can get a few more creatures that mill us. And the important thing is that everything be a creature, because we want to build up a terminal mass of creatures in the yard when we trigger something else, right?
Sure.
Whether that be Rally, whether that be Return to the Ranks, whether that be, as I said, Night Howler or the Graveborn Troll that domes our opponent equal to creatures in yard.
Mm-hmm. Cares about creatures in the yard, right?
What?
Fiend Artisan cares about creatures in the yard. It's bigger.
Fiend Artisan does care about creatures in the yard. The Somnophage also mm-hmm. just cares about creatures in the yard. It's just a big, big boy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think this deck is, like, really close to real. And this one also lets us get back a fairy or an instant or sorcery, which means that, like, if we're playing a reanimate strategy, it'll get us back our reanimate spell if we mill it. And if not, there's, like, that 1-mana fairy that's black that I think it ETBs when we surveil one, mm-hmm. and it can be exiled out of our graveyard to draw us a card.
There's also a chance you just hit another one of these guys, right?
We can also hit one of these, yeah.
What's the what's the 2-mana thing that comes back and makes tokens? Haunted something? Is that a fairy?
No, it's a
Haunted Dead.
Haunted
Spirit, right?
Haunted Dead, it lets us cast it from our graveyard for 2 mana.
Something like that.
I think if you, like,
I think you have to discard a card and you activate
discard two cards for two mana and you get it back and it brings a 1/1 spirit with it.
Gotcha.
And then it triggers all your prized amalgams and we can have Narc Amoebas, we can have Creeping Chills.
Yeah,
this deck is gonna be sick, bro.
I'm excited. I'm sick.
So I'm excited for that. That's my number three.
Heck yeah.
Chris, you got any more thoughts on Rowdy Research?
Nope. No additional thoughts there. Again, my first thought. No. It's totally fine. We're running late here. My thought was, again, big on the convoke strategies, right? Like once you're ready to go wide, right, you can already convoke your whatever dreams card to draw some cards. And this is a big one. And we'll make Two-Headed Giant a ton of fun, right, when you get attacked with a bunch of creatures and get you a bunch of cards. So this card seems cool to me, and that's where I wanted to play it.
Real quickly, I want to talk about like the two rare Tokens Matters cards. Sure. As my number two here, that way I think we all have the same number one essentially. Pollen Shield Hair, 1W for a 2/2 with creature tokens you control get +1/+1, and then it has an adventurer target you control gets +X/+X in vigilance till end of turn, Rex the number of creatures you control, and then there is Wildwood Mentor, 2G for a 1/1. Whenever a token enters the battlefield under your control, put a 1/1 counter on Wildwood Mentor. Whenever Wildwood Mentor attacks another target attacking creature, gets +X/+X on a turn where X is Wildwood Mentor's power. Notably, Wildwood Mentor doesn't care if it's a creature token. So, like, if you play Thraven Inspector and get a clue token, do kind of stuff like that, like, it's going to get bigger, right? Whereas the Pollen Shield Hair is really only for creature tokens. So I do think, like, the Wildwood Mentor has a little bit of play outside of creature token strategies. I just think like Pioneer, there are so many good token makers that I just like don't like, I can't believe there just isn't like a good token shell really for the deck to play in. Unfortunately, like
the second of the four Ravnica sets had Populate as a mechanic, right? That's where like the Trostani was or something like that. Am I crazy?
Yeah, it had Populate.
The white. The Selesnya ability was Populate. So like, I think you nailed it, right? I think if you want to build like a fun thing or something there, there's History of Benalia as like an all-star card.
History of Benalia, there's the Amara from the most recent Ravnica block that just makes a 1/1 when she attacks, right?
A few like thousands of dollars, Anointed Procession is a card that you can buy, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever reason.
I mean, even if you don't go into that, right? I think like there's enough cheap token producers that like something like this could be a deck. And then the Wild Mentor, I think like if you're in a deck that's incidentally making a lot of different kinds of tokens, like I'm thinking, like I said, like you're making clue tokens with maybe like Tireless Tracker and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just think the fact that Wild Mentor doesn't care about what type of token it is, it could be any token. It's an interesting card to look at, and it'll also just kind of grow itself and then also grow like a mana elf at the same time when it attacks. So I just kind of wanted to quickly point out those two cards real quick.
So my number two is sick. I've got ideas for Pia moving forward. I think it's time to change the Pia deck. I think adventures are the way to go with Pia.
Shift the paradigm.
I think that it's time to get rid of Showdown and maybe even Kumano Faces. And I think it's time to play things like Cheeky House Mouse, more Stomp Giants, and then the card I put at number two, which is Hearth Elemental, which is a card I'm excited about. It is a 6 mana 4/5. I'm also excited about this card because of Dredge in Modern.
Yep.
But it's 6 mana for a 4/5 with a adventure for 2 mana, sorcery speed, Stoke Genius, which is discard your hand, draw 2 cards. If we're already late in the game, we might not have cards that are relevant left in our hand. This is fine to do just to draw more cards. And then the other ability of this card being it costs X less to cast, where X is the number of instants, sorceries, or cards with adventure in our graveyard. And I think that part with it synergizing with Pia, and the fact that everything we're playing already is like an instant sorcery or has an adventure or is a Pia, right? Mm-hmm. I think this card could easily, like, you can hit it off of Ren's Resolve and then either cast it for Stoke Genius, or it'll be cheap enough that you'll be able to cast the 4/5 for like 2 or 3 mana, maybe even for 1 mana. Like, we play a lot of instants and sorceries and adventure cards already. This card just seems like even more payoff, and 4/5 being a really relevant body size. Only problem I have with this entire card is that it needs to be a 5/4. Right. So it can attack through a freaking Shieldred.
Right.
But I think Wizards is just convinced that red is not allowed to attack through Shieldred.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I think there's a lot of potential here, but I do think, like you said, the stats on the body that you want it discounted, like you better be able to play that thing early. If you're not playing that before turn three, then that does not line up well against the Cavalier. It doesn't line up well against the Shieldred. So you better hope that you got it on a discount or something, right? You're overwhelming the board, something like that.
I think it's a sweet card either way, though.
Yep. It does do some cool stuff.
All right, Chris, what you got, number two?
Hey, my number two, simple one, the Iron Crag. This is a 2-mana mana rock, right?
Did you say a simple one?
Yeah. This card does.
The most unsimple card I've ever
read. You get to the top of the aggro crag, and they give you a piece to go home with. Yeah, it's done.
Right. Yeah,
that's exactly rock.
Yeah. It's like that one show on Nickelodeon. Is that what you were referencing, Ruckman?
Ship it to Mo.
Guts.
Yeah, ship it to Mo. There you go.
The Iron Crag called Mo.
Yeah, all this card does, it's two colorless. It's an artifact. It makes one colorless mana. That's all that you need to worry about it doing. It can also turn into an artifact if you needed to and make a big beater, I suppose. But the big thing here is that for your, you know, big money control decks or whatever else, you've got a two mana rampant growth as an artifact, right? Even better when and if Karn goes, and then you can kind of shift gears, but also a way to make Eldrazi, I think this is like a potential way that, you know, Eldrazi haven't done anything. Here's a great way, in my opinion, to beef that deck up. So, you know, you can try the artifact stuff, the equipment stuff. But I think the big thing here is 2 mana, add a colorless mana to your mana pool is pretty big game. Pioneer. I don't think it exists really.
The equipment part's kind of bad, right? Like
the equipment part's pretty bad.
Three mana to equip, it gets +3/+3 and loses everything else.
I thought it made our creature lose the abilities, but actually the card itself loses the ability to tap for mana after it turns.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a little better. I was like, what? Okay. Yeah. I see the quotations now. So yes, it doesn't make our creature lose the abilities. Yeah.
I thought so too. I was so confused on this card I had to read it 7 times.
Yeah. Again, you know, it does make you, the big thing people point out is it curves into Shieldred, right? And then makes Shieldred, you know, real big. Is that ability till the end of turn or is it a permanent transform on the?
I think it turns forever.
I thought so too. I read it as this just does this now. Like it just becomes an equipment.
It says whenever a legendary creature is about under your control, you may have. So it is optional. You don't have to get rid of your rock, right?
We mostly want a mana rock.
It becomes it forever. It says and loses all abilities.
Yep. Yeah, that sounds right.
All other abilities. So you could pass it around still.
Right. Yeah. It still gains the equip cost. It stops being a mana rock and becomes an equipment.
Maggie's on a reign of terror right now.
Yeah, I see.
So again, just a card that I think has really, really relevant abilities with the acceleration. I don't think we have a card like this right now as an artifact. So I think this will be a very, very good card in quite a few different decks, to be honest with you.
We actually in Pioneer don't have a 2-mana ramp piece.
No, there's no Mindstone.
We don't have Rampant Growth either. The you only 2-mana Rampant Growth we have is if you have a dinosaur in your hand.
Well, you have Wolfalo Haven.
Wolfalo Haven. Okay, yes, correct.
Yeah.
Wolfalo Haven is one too.
You got Wolfalo Haven, but again, I don't know. I'm immediately going to play like some Eldrazi strategies. I don't know if they're good or not, but this is kind of cute for that.
Farseek is M13.
Right. Farseek is M13.
Yeah, we don't have Everflowing Chalice. That was something before this, I think, right?
World Wake.
Yeah. So
the kicker.
A cornucopia.
That's three. Cornucopia costs 3 mana to make it make mana.
Oh, that's
3 mana. Yeah. This is a 2-mana one. So I do think this is big. Right. I think this is a card that not enough people are kind of talking about just for the ability to add some mana and stick around. I think this is very, very strong for that reason. So that was all my number two.
Our shared number one.
Virtue of Courage, baby. I'm so excited. Oh, I love this card.
All right, what does it do, Ricky?
All right. So for Red 3, it's an enchantment that says whenever a source you control deals non-combat damage to an opponent, you may exile that many cards from the top of your library, and you may play those cards this turn. It also has an adventure for red colorless instant, deal 2 damage to any target. This card is, I kid you not, this card is wild.
I can
write a paper on this card. I will get into it. I'll let you guys talk first because I've been literally thinking about this card all day.
So here's my thing. Is there enough, like, I don't think we don't have enough. I wish we had like even some kind of bad rituals. That way I could play like Thermal Alchemist and Gutter Snipes just to keep like the chain going and just like storm off on our opponents. Maybe we do have enough. Ricky's going to tell me I'm wrong and here I'm stupid and here's why. But like, man, I really want like Battle Him or something dumb like that in Pioneer. So we can just keep going and just keep powering out and just keep the combo going with the Security Centers, incidentally dealing damage and pinging our opponents for casting spells.
How does Bergy work? And then how does Steamkin work? Runaway Steamkin.
Bergy says whenever you cast a spell, you get one red mana.
Yeah.
And, Steamkin says whenever you cast a red spell, put a 1/1 counter on it, and you can remove 3 counters to make 3 red mana.
I think those are a little deep. I think that's some storm stuff there. I mean, this is just a card that, like, if we're building a burn deck or a deck that wants to cast spells, I mean, instants or sorceries, right? And then we have incidental value here. Like, this, the adventure side is the enchantment. So we get our value for 2 damage killing something, and then, like, later, if we flood it out, we cast this card. We already had the mana to cast it, right? So we have enough lands in play to just keep going. Like, this is the reach that a lot of decks need.
Actually, Chris, the adventure is the burn spell.
So I'm going to tell you, like,
I am glad you didn't like that.
There are two paths with this card, right?
Okay.
One is what Chris said exactly, but like,
there are two wolves inside of you. Is that what
people want,
which one lies to me and which one tells the truth.
That's right.
People want to, they want to play Experimental Frenzy in their red decks, right? But they leave it in the sideboard. They only want it in certain matchups and things like that, right? Experimental Frenzy is no longer a card in Magic the Gathering. This card is a 2-mana burn spell that if you go late in the game, wins you the game. It is your Experimental Frenzy. You can main deck it now. You're fine just playing this for 2-mana to burn spell, right? And then if the game goes late, here it is. Here's my enchantment. And then next turn, if you don't blow up this enchantment, I am killing you. You will die. Lightning Strike draws me 3 cards, which finds another Lightning Strike that finds me 3 cards to play with fire, and you're going to die.
The fact that it is that many cards, not just like, it dealt damage, you get one card, right?
Now, I'm going to tell you about a very exciting thing you can do with this card.
Tell me more.
All right. Impact Tremors, Pophoros, God of the Forge, and 0 drop creatures.
Yeah.
Ornithopters. And walking ballista, hangerback walkers and stone coil serpents and endless ones. It's very janky, but like, this is something else we can do. We can play some sort of like aggressive cavalcade rats deck that like plays Impact Tremors, and we can end on this to kind of like get reach. Maybe that's a standard only thing. I guess Impact Tremors isn't in standard, but like some sort of Pophoros Impact Tremors go wide creature deck.
I like the idea.
Lets you go insane, right?
Yeah. In theory,
you can go Pophoros turn 4. Maybe we play red green so you can ramp it to Pophoros turn 3. This card just flat casting it on turn 4. And then if we're playing all of our 0 drops, we can just go, right? We play a creature. If we've got Impact Tremors and Pophoros, or just a Pophoros outright, we're flipping 2. As long as we keep hitting 0 drops at a good enough rate, we can kill our opponent dead. I think it's not far off being a real deck. There's definitely enough zeros.
I definitely like that in like kind of like that cute either token strategy, right? You can just play tokens, because like one of the things is sometimes you're just like, well, it's harder for me to attack my mono white opponent, right? Because I convoked, right? Maybe I Boros convoked. Something like that with some cavalcade shenanigans, where in this case, one of the things is, you know, in my version, if you're playing this as a value card, you still have to top deck, which I don't think is outside of the realm of possibility. I think that's fine, right? We're going to play plenty of burn spells. But if you're loaded up, ready to go, this card's even more insane. Like, if you got to attack early, chip some damage in to the point where now you're like, well, I'm not going to attack. I'm kind of sitting here in a board stall. Opponent doesn't want to attack you because you've got a bunch of guys who can kind of swing back. Now, if you're in this strategy with a cavalcade or the whatever, like you're pinging damage through by attacking with creatures or doing whatever, you're kind of locked and loaded, right? Like once this card's online, you're ready to play all those cards immediately, you know?
Right.
I still don't think you have to go that cute of a combo, though I do think it is fun. I think just playing this as a value card seems insane to me, but I do like your idea with, hey, we're going to either make a bunch of tokens or we're going to attack with cavalcade. We're going to How does the one card, how does the two mana card from Amonkhet work? Do they lose life or do they take damage for creatures? It's a two mana artifact. They take damage or they lose life for tapped creatures. I don't remember.
It's at the end of the turn they lose life.
They lose life, so that doesn't trigger this then.
Throne of the God Pharaoh.
Something like that. Something.
What about the chair you get stuck in?
The Dragon Throne. No.
Yeah.
Throne of the God Pharaoh is at the beginning of each end step, each opponent loses life.
Sure. Which is not non-combat damage, unfortunately, but the possibilities are definitely there, right? I will tell you that this card definitively makes my top five for the set that we're going to go with overall.
This is my favorite card in the whole set. I honestly, I think it's better in like a weird combo deck or just as the top end of a burn deck where you don't want to cast it, but you might. And honestly, I don't think you're wrong if you just take your Showdown of the Scalds from your Pia deck, throw them in the garbage, and put these in instead. I think you'll also be fine.
Yeah, because I mean, like, you don't like necessarily have to play like the four of, right? Like, you play like two or three in like a burn deck and be happy, right? Like,
right. The thing is, like, this is like a two of, maybe three of in your burn deck main board, and you play it just as a two mana burn spell, and then when you run into trouble, you take a turn off to cast it. You've got two spells now on your next turn, and you go off.
I mean, Lilian Binding has shown us that no one can get rid of an enchantment in play.
Right.
Leyline Binding does kill the enchantment. Like, it's not unanswerable, but I think the card is very strong.
I'm with you, and I think, like you just said, I mean, you know, if we want to play more adventures or whatever for our P-Deck, I think part of the advantage of Showdown of the Skulls is all those cards that you're casting, instead of spinning your wheels, are making your stuff bigger. You know, because like you can't just kind of, you know, hey, there's only so many 1/2s with prowess that are going to get you through, right? But at the same time, that's a lot of cards you could be seeing, right? First of all, if you
this flip time instead of spinning our wheels for 1/1 counters, we're spinning our wheels for more damage to our
Pia stuff for sure. Well, I think that's it, right? Is that like this is a card that you could play off a Reckless Impulse reasonably early, right? Because you just cast the two mana, right? And then it sits around waiting. And then when you're ready to cast it, you're like, well, I've got one or two cards rolled up. I do take this turn off, but I was the one killing you anyway. And then, you know, here we go, right? We cast Stomp at our opponent's face. If we have more of these, right, then we're casting the two mana side of it to activate the five mana side of it.
Right, so, exactly.
You know, you don't want to necessarily play this in multiples. You could, but you just rather save the other ones to get the first effect because it's very strong.
Like, what does your Rakdos opponent do to you when you play this? Right, like your Rakdos mid range player, like they get a turn to like set their Shieldred down, but this is going to outraise Shieldred damage 120%.
Sure.
You know, like sure. They played Shieldred their turn four, and now it's your turn. You're out of gas. You go Virtue of Courage, you let them gain 4 health, and then you like just blow them out.
Sure. You get to see a lot of spells, that's for sure. At least you could, depending on how you built that deck, right? So
right. And I do really think the Pophoros deck is kind of real.
Yeah. All right. Well, that will do it for spoilers this week. Like I said, this week we'll have the full spoiler out. I'm not expecting too many extra cards to talk about. So I would say that patron listeners, be sure to keep an eye out next week for our top five discussion, our top 10 kind of discussion debate to come out, because I got a spicy list. I'm sure these guys will have their own spicy list to talk about as we pick our top 10 of the set. As for everyone else, next week's episode, we've been recording recently on Wednesdays now, so you have a few extra days. You listen to this on Friday, and I've pinged everyone in the Discord already. Next week's episode, send us your Eldraine brews, and please have them be brews. Don't just throw like one new card into Rakdos Sacrifice and call it a day, right?
If it's a really cool new card, right?
No. Here's my thing. I just don't want someone who just goes like, here's like one slight update to my list that I'm like.
The thing is, this week's stuff that we got a lot of updates to existing decks. Like there were some new. Really cool decks in the submissions for this week, right? But a lot of them were, hey, here's the deck that I want to play with some changes with Karn gone. So I just feel like Ruckman's right in that, like, given that this week that was a lot of the popular ones, come with something totally different is the idea.
Yeah. Let's say we need at least more than 4 new cards in it.
Sure, if it's an old deck. Or give us something new, give us a play around.
Yeah.
Give me spicy cards.
Yeah.
Be the Ratatouille chef on that.
Give us the Let's give us the Caliente.
You don't want to be the Ratatouille chef. The Ratatouille chef has no agency. You want to be the
I want to be the Raccoon chef.
Yeah. You want to be the rat that's pulling the hair, you know?
No. I want to be the person that the genius inspires, you know?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So instead of the Patreon mailbag this week, we'll bring it back next week. Chris, why don't you give us our kind of makeup for last week skipping out of the Does It Slap?
Yeah, throw me in here the Does It Slap sound. Thank you, Ruckman. So let's go over these real quick. We're running long here. So first thoughts, Bridger, throw us one in here. Bridger, for the first time ever, has disappointed me. Very disappointed. This deck only has one Glissa in it. This deck needs to be at least three times this big. Okay, this is a Glissa for ants, right? And I'm not here for it. Okay, we need way more Glissa in this rock deck that Bridger submitted. That being said, I will give this a one out of the three Glissas that we should be playing. Okay, otherwise, great rock deck, Bridger, fantastic.
I like Jewel Thief though.
Jewel Thief is a replacement. I do think Jewel Thief is a cute tryout. I really like it. I think, unfortunately, the competition for the three-drop slot is way too heavy. But Jewel Thief is there. It's our Trey Lance in the 49ers QB room. Unfortunately, is just on the cutting floor and is not good enough behind Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold, as it turns out. So just not quite there, in my opinion. Binksaki had Rot Priest combo. Really, really cool. Deck focuses on mostly Rot Priest, copying it with the Green March that goes and gets a second card that we already have. So once you get your one Rot Priest, you're multiplying them. How do we get Rot Priest? Cord of Callings, right? My one call out for this deck, Binks, is that we have Delver of Secrets. That card is unplayable in this deck. Good try, though. I do love me Delver of Secrets, so you did win my heart that way, even though we can't play it in this deck. So we get three out of four Court of Callings that we should be playing. We're only playing three. We should be playing four. So your slap rating is three out of the four Court of Callings we should be playing. Thank you for your submission. Codename Eli submitted Rakdosac, which I'm calling Shrapnel Sac. So it is a Rakdosac deck list that has, you know, Oni Cold Anvil and other artifacts, I think experimental synthesizers as well. And we are playing Shrapnel Blast because Shrapnel Blast kills bugs dead. And those are just straight facts. So this deck, super good. I love it. I get totally what we're going for here. And I give this four out of the five shrapnel blast damage that we're doing. So that's your slap rating, four to five shrapnel blast damage. Kevman submitted the book combo. Now that Karn's not here, what am I going to do? I'm going to activate my artifact on my Mutavault, my angel one. And now you can't win the game.
Now that Karn is gone, I'm going to build my own new hell.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
He's considering the fact that he called the deck Karn was the good guy.
Karn was the good guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need somebody like me to point at and say, hey, there's the bad guy. Little Tony Montana missed an opportunity to name this deck, Kev, man. You should have Tony Montana'd it, okay? However, our new Golgari overworlds do not care about your Mutavault. They will Assassin's Trophy it. They will Besageu it. They will whatever. So unfortunately, In a world of Besageu and whatever, our books are not good enough, but I still really, really like the idea. So I give this two out of the three white mana on the Book of Exalted Deeds, right? So good job, great submission, but not good enough to get around Besageu and the Golgari.
Plot twist. Chris is blind the whole time in the Book of Eli.
That's exactly right. Joffrey Bieber submitted Soul Flare. This could definitely be good enough, given that that Thing in the Ice is a free win against green. And if we're assuming that there's less green, there's going to be less Thing in the Ice to disrupt your Soul Flayer plan. Though every time I play Thing in the Ice, my opponents look at me and are like, what is this card? And I'm like, this is the card that everybody should be playing to destroy you with. And they're like, I didn't think I would see a Phoenix player. And I'm like, okay, sign the match slip and let's move on, you know? But really like the idea. I will say that Grease Fang is going to be probably more popular, and so the Graveyard Hate seems like it would hit you also. But I will say that this deck still was pretty cool, and I give it 3 out of the 5 for the number of abilities that Zatalpa has, because Zatalpa is in our graveyard to exile to Soul Flayer. Jay Dizzle, great name, submitted Rakdos Midrange. This deck was a little all over the place, but we're playing Goblin Dark Dwellers. So if you submit a deck list with Goblin Dark Dwellers on this podcast, you automatically win points. You just do.
How many points?
I think that we're kind of all over the place with this Rakdos mid deck. There's a lot of random what-ofs, which I understand, you know, we're trying to mill and replay them and things like that. And they are solid red-black cards. It's still pretty scattered. So I'm going to give this deck one out of the two Goblin Dark Dwellers we should be playing. Throw more Dark Dwellers in there, and I'll give you the approval. And then last but not least, we have the Ed Boy, Wolty, the Biden to Thassa, playing Ghostbusters, who I had to ask Ruckman what this deck was for, and Ruckman said he just wanted to kill spirits because spirits will be everywhere. I said, okay, yeah, this deck is, I can't describe it. It's Thermo Alchemist. It's a bunch of pingers. We're main decking Rending Volleys. And fries, right, yeah. So we just really want to kill spirits. But again, the mad genius Ed knew how to get to my heart. We're playing Geist Flame Reservoir, and we're playing an uncastable Siege Rhino in the sideboard. So, you know, message received. You know what I'm saying? So Ed gets a perfect 7 out of 11. I've never seen a more perfect deck list in my life, playing cards that I'm the only one who's probably ever read start to finish and tried to play in a crazy deck, while also throwing a Siege Rhino in there. So great submission, Ed. Exactly the kind of thing that we were looking for. So thank you for your submission, everybody. It means a lot, especially me personally, when you submit these decks and we read over them, we can tell the thought that goes into them. It means a lot. The engagement.
Oh, you missed one deck list.
Oh, you know what? I did, because I was going to read it last second because it was, hold on. The new mono green from Tyrant, right?
Yeah.
The new mono green.
But the thing is, this deck is going to have the dirty turt in it, is what I'm calling soon, the new turtle. Okay. So, you know, we got to wait.
If I can't say prolapsed butthole, I don't think you can call it the dirty turtle.
I can call it the dirty turt. Okay. It's a turtle and it's powerful. So it's going to be the dirty turt. So yeah, the mono green will get, I don't know how many years was the, you ready to cut this one? You ready to cut this joke, Ruckman? Okay, let me go real quick. You get 5 out of 6 for the Cavalier of Thorns, but you just still submitted mono green, so I almost forgot about you, so I apologize for that. But huge thank you to the people who take the time out to submit these deck lists. We love them. They mean a lot to us, and thanks, and hopefully we'll see even more next week.
Yeah, so again, next week we'll be going a little more in depth with deck lists. Mm-hmm. And going over. So send us your spice. Send us all that Eldraine sickness. We'll have our own deck lists. And that'll do it for this week. Again, we'll be back to the Patreon mailbag next week. We're kind of running things long. We didn't want to shout out all these submissions here. So, gentlemen, that'll do it for this week. Listeners at home, thank you for tuning in. Of course, we didn't do the Patreon mailbag, but again, thank you for supporting us at Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. We have several wonderful people, and several of them actually were submitters in that that segment, so they also kind of got the mailbag shout out there for that.
We appreciate it.
So thank you once again, patreon.com/crew3mtg, to help keep us going, keep us flowing. Be sure to check out all the stuff there. Also, I think this weekend I'll finally have the time to edit and upload our Cats watch along, or sorry, Speed Racer watch along.
Oh man!
So that we can enjoy that. Oh man, I could re-upload Cats too.
Do it.
When do you have to play League of Legends? That's what the people are waiting for. That's all wasted time.
Our extra life stream is November the 11th.
Yeah.
So I have until then, unless we want to do it actually at Extra Life.
We need suggestions for champions for Ruckman to play. You know, you got to throw out immediately the Teemos, you know?
Here's the thing. Are you guys going to be on my team?
I don't know yet. We might be on the other team.
If you guys aren't going to be on my team and play with me, I think you should be. We should do it during next year's Extra Life, and you should coach me on the stream, like here in person.
You play Yasuo and just have the 0-10 power strike, power spike, something like that. You know,
yeah.
Let us know. Would you rather me stream it during Extra Life and have them coach me here, or should we do it with Chris and Ricky playing on my team?
There you go. Put up a poll of all 187 champions from League of Legends.
That's right.
Who Ruckman should play?
Welcome to my own personal hell. All right.
Last time Ruckman played League of Legends, he was so angry, he left uninstalled us. The game as he was talking to us and rage quit voice chat also. You know, but to be fair, that's a typical League of Legends experience. But literally uninstalled the game while we were still playing it. And we were like, wait, where did Ruckman go? and then we learned of the uninstallation and leaving of chat, which was a cleanse.
That was also my third game of League of Legends.
It was. So we'll see if on number three is the charm this time to get him through it. So if you want content.
I have to play an hour? Or is it playing like a number of games? I forget.
You need to find your old login because we don't want to do the bot games. We need to jump straight into
All right. Well, where can they find you on the socials, everyone?
You can find me on Twitter at also Steve, and you can find me on Twitch at Crew3MTG.
All right, Chris?
You can find me on X.com, engaging in the future of banking and crypto at @its_Christmas, and Christmas has no T.
And you can find me, of course, at Crew3 Podcast. Talking about all kinds of things. We got some great archive stuff, all sorts of things going on. I get some Legos here soon. I don't know if you know this, but this last month, Lego put out a kit of the Sanderson house from Hocus Pocus, and Marilyn and I are going to build that for Halloween here soon. So anyway, and of course, I upload things on our YouTube channel at Crew3MTG. And if you can't make Ricky's streams, I'm going to start uploading the VODs over to YouTube as well, so you have more content there. Be sure to check us out. Like I said, Extra Life is getting ready to ramp up on November 11th. If you've done Extra Life with us before, we're doing things a little differently. As instead of a big end of donation raffle, we're going to kind of do a little box break style stuff. We're going to have, if you donate certain amounts, you'll get packs that will open on stream. And then we'll have some bigger ones where we'll do kind of they're called Digibreak style, where we'll have some bigger buy-ins and you will randomly get assigned a number, and whatever number you get, the collector number will determine what cards you get. So we'll have smaller buy-ins, smaller donation incentives for single packs. We'll have the bigger ones for kind of the big, more just break styles. So be sure to check that out. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a lot of stuff going on. We'll have the return of C3W, and we'll just be kind of doing lots of stuff. I'm sure we'll have some late night tier list stuff. So get ready to mark your calendars on that for November 11th.
It's going to be a blast, honestly, as always.
It's probably my favorite thing we do every year, I think, safe to say. So be sure to get ready for that. We'll talk to you all next time. Bye.
Bye.